Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
You know, one of the great passages in the Word of God is a statement that Jesus made to the Pharisees. It's actually a statement that's inscribed on a number of buildings around the United States. It's, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Well, that really ties into our theme this month of sanctification. We have been set apart by the Spirit of God to believe the truth. Before that, we believed lies. We were living, you know, the lie that Satan foisted on all of mankind back in the garden. That was what controlled us. That was what moved us. That was what propelled us forward in life, was the lie. And now we've been set apart to believe truth. And there is a powerful passage in 2 Thessalonians. And I'm going to start reading in verse 9 of chapter 2. It's talking about the coming of the lawless one. And that's a big question that's posed on the broadcast from time to time. Who is this lawless one? You know, what's going to happen when he's revealed? And this passage really talks about it, but it talks about it in terms of truth and error. So the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. Did you catch that? Serve the lie. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. So what is Satan's weapon against us? It's a lie. It's always been a lie. That's how he deceived Adam and Eve. That's his work today. He is trafficking in the area of deception. That's where he moves. That's where he, those are the weapons that he has, is lies and deceptions. So he will use all sorts of displays of power and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but who have delighted in wickedness. So what's the problem here? Folks have exchanged the truth of God for the lie of man. We are no longer worshiping God. We are worshiping images that we form and fashion in our own likeness. That's exactly what Paul said in Romans chapter 1. And so we see that here as well. So it's all about lies and truth. And so these wicked folks have believed the lie. They oppress the truth so that others can't find it. That's what they do. And so God has sent a delusion, a strong delusion, so they won't be able to believe the truth, but will continue to delight in wickedness. But he goes on to say that, "But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." So what have we been set apart to do? To believe truth. We had to have the work of the Spirit to set us apart, to enable us to believe truth. Otherwise, we would continue to believe lies. And how does the Spirit do that? It takes the things of the Lord Jesus and makes them known to us. So it takes who he is, what he accomplished, and brings that to our hearts. He sets us apart so that we can believe that gospel message and be saved. It's a powerful story that God is giving to us and allowing us to partake in. And it's so interesting that Paul really sets the two against each other, lies and truth. Jesus said, "You will know the truth. The truth will set you free." Who is that truth? Jesus. The work of the Spirit, the sanctifying work of the Spirit, enables us to believe the truth about Jesus.
Yes, indeed. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Plenty of open lines at 844-322-2742. As I said, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Cynthia in Bayview, Idaho. Hi, Cynthia.
Hello, how are you?
We're doing wonderfully. How are you today?
Fantastic. I have a question, but I'm going to apologize first because you have probably already gotten this question before, but I haven't been able to hear it. My question is regarding all of the new silly transgender laws and the bathroom laws and whatever you want to call it and so on and so forth. And I know that for myself, when Target first came out with this, you know, like half of other Americans, I hope, were all up in arms. I'm never, ever going to shop there again and this and that. And now I know that there have been some other retailers that have come on board, Barnes & Noble's, Starbucks is also doing it. And I'm just wondering from your guys' perspective or your opinion, how Christians should be responding to this. Should we all say we're never going to shop there again? You know, what do we do when more and more and more chains come on and that type of thing? So I just want to get your opinion on it.
Well, we can all sign petitions and we can all say that we're never going to shop at these particular places again. And yet we probably will go and shop at those particular places. instead of signing something and saying something, just don't shop and just let that be your decision that you've made under the leadership of God's Spirit in your life. I think the minute that we try to come together as one against something, we've lost our focus on Jesus. And that's exactly what Satan wants, is for us to lose our focus on Jesus and get wrapped around the axle of all these other issues. People need the Lord. People need to know that God actually loves them. And so I think as far as these policies and these things are concerned, Cynthia, I think that's something that you need to make individually. And if you choose to not go to Target or not go to Barnes & Noble, I think that is a fantastic decision. But don't let that decision shift your focus away from Christ and what you're really here for, and that's to make Him known. Does that make sense
right.
to you?
I think for me, my biggest thing with it, besides it just makes me crazy that anybody could think that this is right, but that's just common sense. But for me, I feel like that if I continue to shop, you know, at these chains, and I know that they don't all have the same policies, like my Target here in Coeur d'Alene, they're not adhering to that, but I still haven't shopped there because it's still a parent company. And I feel that if I shop there, then in a way, I feel that I'm condoning it and I'm supporting their decision of how they're going to run their business. And it makes me feel like I'm supporting a sinful act. But I didn't know if I was the only one that thought that way.
No, you're not the only one that thinks that way at all, Cynthia. I think we're all a little outraged by what's going on in the country today. It really gets back to what we were talking about at the top of the hour, this idea of truth versus error. And that's what we see happening in our country today. It's a battle for truth versus error. And the way the country is going is more toward the error side. We're exchanging the truth of God for the lies of Satan. And I think as time goes on, we're going to see more and more of that. That's why we, I think, need to stand up and say, hey, there's Jesus. He is the truth. And if we will continue to lift Him up, I think there's hope. But I think if we kind of waver away from what our real mandate is into some of these issues, trying to get all of these various issues, because as soon as we got that one corrected, there would be another one, and then there would be another one, and then there would be another one.
Absolutely.
And the message of Christ would slowly fade away. We need the message of Christ in America today more than anything. Why? Because Jesus is truth. And if we lift Him up,
a good point. Sorry for interrupting you, but you just the light bulb went in my head, but you made a really good point there where you say that, pardon me, over time, you know, things are going to continue to change. You know, first we had the, you know, gay marriage, and now we've got this, and then there'll be something else. But you do make a very good point when you say, you know, that the truth remains the same. And what I took away from that was that Jesus remains the same. So while the rest of the country can keep doing whatever funky, silly things they're doing, the message of the gospel will always be the truth and the way and the light, and will never, ever change.
So that's exactly right.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So,
well, Cynthia, I'm glad you called. I hope that helped you. I think what you're saying and what you're choosing to do, I commend you for that. And I think when Christians make those individual decisions, and I think that's what's important for us, is to be able to be led by the Spirit to make individual decisions. And I think over time, you know, what the world worships at is the altar of money. What Target is worshiping at is the altar of money. If money starts to dry up, they're going to make other decisions. That's the only thing that's going to move them is money. Why? Because that's what motivates them. That's why they're in business. So when money starts to tail off, that's when businesses like that will make a decision. If we hit them at their pocketbook, they might make a decision. But I think that has to be individual choices. I think if we get into groupthink and group action on that, we're giving up our most important thing, and that's to lift up the name of Jesus.
You're right. And it does also kind of feed into their hand a little bit, because if you have, you know, let's just say a whole group of Christians and all we're talking about is these silly laws and this and that, then we're taking away from time that we really should be spending with Christ instead of looking at these silly things. So that's really a good point, too.
Yeah.
So I very much appreciate your insight and appreciate you taking my call.
You're welcome, Cynthia. Thanks for calling today. We sure appreciate it. Yes, great question.
Okay, have a great day. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
844-322-2742. Plenty of time on the clock. We have open lines for you. If you have a question, we want to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742. And you know, friends, we frequently have some very deeply moving phone calls from people who are experiencing crisis situations in their lives. Because Basic Gospel is live, we were able to help them in their moment of need. Basic Gospel, of course, is different in the world of Christian radio because we can reach out at the exact moment someone needs to hear about the love of Christ. Your gifts are vitally important so that we can continue to proclaim Jesus to those who need to hear. So we ask you today to make your most generous gift, the biggest one that you can afford, to help keep Basic Gospel on the air, live and online. Click donate at any page on any page at basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-412-2742. Guys, a question from Kelly in Tampa, Florida. She wants to know, how do you draw someone out of the old covenant mindset when both parties are reading from the same Bible source and see the same truths, especially when neither party sees themselves as wrong with their belief system or the ritual that they have been steeped in for a lifetime? I understand the Spirit reveals truth and removes the veil, but wouldn't the Lord want the new covenant truths working in a believer's life sooner rather than later?
Well, absolutely, but a lot of times we sometimes have to go through a desert experience. Sometimes we have to go through the school of hard knocks. Sometimes we have to go through all sorts of things before these truths can actually become our truths. You know, Paul was converted in a very dramatic fashion, and as soon as his eyes were opened, he was out preaching to as many people as possible that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, that he was crucified, dead, buried, and on the third day rose from the dead, and it's in him that we have hope and life everlasting. And he caused such a stir that he had to be rescued or escape with a basket being lowered down a wall just so he could save his life. Well, God said, wait a minute, Paul, I need you out in the desert with me for 3 years, and I'm going to do some teaching, and then, you know, there might be some other time that you're going to need to really grow in what this new life in Christ is all about. So how that works for each of us individually, that's God's business. And at some point, we have to look back at all the things that we've been through, whether good or bad, and realize that God used each and every one of those to really anchor us to this new covenant message of grace. So sometimes some of us need a lot more of the school of hard knocks than others. But also, I think one of the things as far as communication is concerned is to find points of commonality with others. Talk about how you came to understand this and what answers did the new covenant give you that what you had learned before had not. And I think if you can talk about your experiences, your real life experiences, not that experiences are a measure of truth, but it's through your experiences that truth found a place in your heart. So as you kind of share your story and the questions that you had and how the new covenant answered those, I think it's going to make others listen a little more intently. But if you're just trying to persuade somebody on doctrine, I think it's going to be a more difficult road to walk down.
Absolutely. Kelly, thank you for your question. And friends, if you have a question, we would love for you to drop it to us by email at bob@basicgospel.net. Again, bob@basicgospel.net.
Well, we're going to go to New Jersey and talk with Ken. Hi, Ken.
Hello. My point is that the person that you just spoke with, I think it was Cynthia or something like that, not. She claimed that she was a Christian, and she was thinking about the bathroom thing with Target and that and
yes.
So forth. Now, I think that's kind of, but the answer that you give to her, I quite agree with you. One of the things that I notice with people that call themselves Christian, like this kind of so-called Christians, because what that has to do with Christianity is just like when the guys they brought to Jesus, the young lady, and said they caught her in adultery, Jesus didn't make anything. He deal with them and said, well, okay, if you caught her in adultery, which one is without sin? Now, if Target opened its business, it's place to do business, and she doesn't like what is going on, well, then she just, hey, you just don't go there or whatever might be the case.
Yeah, I think that's the important
store.
Yeah, I think that's the important point, Ken, is these things need to be individual choices. And I think we're, as believers, we've all been indwelt by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is what brings truth to our minds, is what enables our minds to be renewed, and gives us a framework to think through these things individually. And maybe we go and get counsel from friends or talk to somebody at our church, but ultimately we come back and say, this is the individual decision that I'm going to make, and I'm going to do this as I lead a quiet life in this world today. But my real mandate is not to show the world what I'm against, but to show the world what I'm for. And what I'm for is Jesus. I'm for who he is, the fact that he spoke and the world came into existence, and I'm for his death, burial, and resurrection, knowing that when we lift him up, people can be drawn unto him and have life everlasting, can be rescued from the darkness and enter into the light. So, Ken, we appreciate that.
Yeah, there's an aspect of this that we've got to be really wise about. If you pay attention to communication and how people communicate, what do they do, especially in public forums, the idea is to state something or to get a ruling on something that feels like a provocation. And if you understand what somebody's trying to accomplish, instead of reacting in anger and becoming the point person that proves what they're trying to say, then you back off. You know, it doesn't do any good to be angry and get a bunch of people on the news and look like crazy people in your anger, when all you're doing is proving what the person who provoked you in the first place is trying to do. Don't fall for the rhetoric. Don't fall for the agenda, whatever the agenda is, good, bad, or otherwise. I mean, you do the same thing with sports teams. All you have to do is propose that the Texas Rangers are the best team in baseball, and everybody's up in arms over it, or they're the worst team. It doesn't matter. It's a form of argument that people do. They propose something. They're trying to get a rise out of you instead of a reasoned response. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's going to give you the reasoned response by the Spirit.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Dallas, Texas, and talk with Allison, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Allison.
Hello. How are you guys?
We're doing well. How are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you. I listen to you every single day when I get off of work. I kind of always miss the tail end of it, but I do have kind of a two-part question. And the first one is, you know, just kind of addressing what everybody's been talking about for the past couple of weeks about the restroom situation and transgender. You know, I really feel that as a Christian and knowing what God's placed in my heart and the fact that, you know, we're not called to be judgmental in the aspect of we're condemning people. I mean, you should have a level of discernment. But to say, well, I'm not going to shop there, or I disagree, well, maybe you shouldn't even go outside because sin is all around us. And I really feel that if we are Christians and we're called accordingly, that we should show love, because love is the ultimate gift that Jesus Christ and God gave us. And we should be representations of that and love people the way that he says that we should. And I don't think anybody that is misled or misguided should not be able to get that, just like everyone else. It's a free gift, and we should love people no matter what they're doing.
Well, Allison, I think that's certainly what this new life in Christ is all about. As we abide in Jesus, the fruit of love we get to bear in our everyday existence, and that means love for God and love for others. So that comes through that dependent life that we have in Jesus. He has come to live inside of us. As we learn to trust him, we're going to see love starting to flow out of us and into the lives of others. And as Jesus said, that's when people are going to step back and take notice that there's something different about these folks. I mean, there are so many things going on in the United States of America. I mean, there's a new bill, a new legislation, a new something that is moving us down a wrong path. And we could protest all of our lives. I mean, we could have a new protest every single day.
Some of us do.
as to what's going on in the world today. And the more we get engage ourselves in these protests, as I said, the more distant the message of Christ is going to be as far as what we're called to deliver in this world. People need Jesus. People need truth. And that truth is found in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. What people are struggling with is fear and guilt and shame. They're struggling with that separation from God, that emptiness inside. And protests aren't going to solve those problems. What's going to solve those problems is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we've been set apart to believe the truth. And in believing the truth, I think that emboldens us to speak the truth, not in a nasty way, but in love. We speak the truth in love. And that's what this, quote, sanctified life is all about. Well, Allison, we thank you for your call today. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And friends, don't forget that Basic Gospel is indeed a listener-supported ministry. We love being here to address the needs of our listeners. And if you have a situation, we hope that you'll be one of those who call to pose it on the air. In the meantime, if you can help with a gift, we encourage you to do that by going to our website, basicgospel.net. Just click donate on any page, or you can call during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator, Billy, at 844-412-2742. Again, that's 844-412-2742. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody, for Bob and Richard and the ministry team. Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. We hope you will be too. Bye-bye.